the Mom Genus Podcast. Two dental hygienists who became friends and later became moms, who understand the struggles, the joys, and the self-doubt of raising kids, staying sane, and working. Listen to our regular conversations about everything except the kitchen sink.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast with Christy, Jasmine, and Karen. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast. This is your host, Jasmine Haley, and our other co-host, Karen and Christy, are busy handling their Mom Genus duties. So it's just me for this interview, but I cannot wait to introduce you to our guests. Our guest for this episode is Amanda Jusen. She's a mother of two young girls, a Canadian certified sleep consultant. Y'all know we need that, okay? And trained educator. And in 2017, Amanda founded Baby's Best Sleep and has since then helped countless parents create healthy sleep habits for them and their children. Amanda is an all-around sleep expert and uses a research-based approach, and you know we love that as dental hygienists, to developing custom-tailored programs for her clients. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for this, okay? I wish you were in my life 11 years ago.
Yeah, I always say, so this is honestly what you just said is the number one comment I receive from parents of older children. And so my next invention is a time machine because I'm making a lot of money 11 years ago.
Tell me about it. Like, I just feel like the internet, first of all, sometimes the internet has no chill. Okay. There are some issues with it. But like, I wish that I had the resources that so many of these moms right now in our group have, because I didn't have any of that. I had to kind of like figure it out as I go. And that was a hot mess, by the way.
I think that needs to become a meme. The internet has no chill. Nothing truer has ever been said in my life. The internet has no chill. Yes.
Well, we can thank Black Twitter for that, okay?
Thank you, Black Twitter. God bless you.
All right, my dear. Tell me, first of all, I've got to know, like, what even led you to doing what you're doing? Because, like, you know, there's a special place in my heart for people who are focused day in and day out for this segment of someone's life. It's challenging. Most of the time your clients are sleep deprived. They're not always at their best. I just remember what I was like. Yeah. So just let the listeners know, like, what your journey was like venturing into the work that you're doing right now.
Well, I mean, to start off with, I've always done jobs that people find crazy, like teach middle school for several, like 10 years. And I would tell people, you know, I teach grade 8, and they'd be like, oh God, why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I like it, but I did really like it. I love my job. I was a teacher for 10 years and then I had my own children. And I am someone who, if you had known me in, you know, my own life or my previous life, everyone would be like, oh yeah, Amanda needs to sleep. Like, I was the only teenager without a curfew because I would come home because I need 8 hours. And that is still very much me today. And so before I had kids, I had a couple of very lovely, well-meaning friends from two different social circles reach out and be like, Amanda, we're very excited that you're going to have a baby. We're a little bit worried that you have no idea how much sleep deprivation is involved. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I don't know. So then I read everything. You know, like, people like worry about cribs and, you know, stuff. I was not. I was very obsessed with sleep. And then when the baby came, I basically started day one doing really gentle, easy things. And, you know, my first baby, you know, she's 6 today, knock on wood, really great Aww. Sleeper. So then my second baby came. And by the way, so in Canada, we have a year-long maternity leave.
Oh.
So it's this, like, I know, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be an Can I swear? Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, sorry. We can
we'll bleep it.
Okay, sorry. I'm not trying to be a not nice person. But we have this year, and I went back to work at 4 months. And so all of your listeners in the US are like, yeah, okay, that's what we all do. And then all the Canadian folks around me were like, oh my God, are you okay? How are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, my baby sleeps. So I never really thought about it because she slept. Then my second came along and a couple of things happened. I took the full year of mat leave for that year. And I also had a 2-year-old child slash baby and an infant. And you, if you have a bad night of sleep with your infant and you have a 2-year-old, you can't just go have a nap because you have the 2-year-old. So this is where Amanda experiences sleep deprivation proper for the first time. The second thing is that because I had this full year of mat leave, I really started to identify sleep deprivation and its effects on especially mothers. I do use the word parents because I think a lot more dads are getting involved these days than ever before. Even from when I started my business in 2017 to 2020, the amount of dads on consults is like doubled. So yeah. Yay to dads. But at that time, it was a lot of moms. I would go to this workout class for new moms, and like my new workout mom bestie would stop coming because she wasn't sleeping. And so she obviously wasn't going to work out. And I was like, oh man, I'm really good at this. My kids sleep well. Like eventually, you know, in that newborn phase, nobody is sleeping well, but eventually my girls are sleeping well. But then I see friends who have gone like 6 months, 8 months without more than 3 hours of sleep at a time, if that, and that really does a number on you. It does a number on you physically. It does a number on you emotionally. And then it became like a secret feminist agenda for me to, you know, take moms out of the whole sole responsibility of doing bedtime. And also, you know, trying to inform people that sleep is not a luxury. It is not a fancy item. This is an absolute necessity. We do our mothers a disservice by not discussing sleep in our prenatal visits. We act like it's just, well, for the first year, you don't sleep. Well, I'm sorry, that's BS. I'm not going to swear, but I would if it was a different place. But it's not okay, you know? So for me, I love giving this gift. It is like, I was a teacher for 10 years. I didn't leave because I wasn't happy. I love my job. I had a dream job. But this is the most rewarding experience of my life. In 3 days, you can take a parent who is at their worst, and 3 days they're at their best they've been in months. And that is amazing. Like, I just got chills thinking about what I do, which is very like, pat on my back, but this is why I do it. So, yeah. You know, if you were to like steal my phone and look at my pictures or my videos, it would all be like babies crying on that initial night and parents being like, ah, what is this? And I'm like, this is what it is. So you would think I'm like a crazy masochist weirdo if you ever stole my phone and didn't know who I was. But at the end of that, the baby stops crying, number one, because we do our job really well. And number two, everyone is sleeping and it's awesome.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. Never apologize for that, honey. You know, they never talked about sleep deprivation. They never talked about, for me, dealing with a child that's not latching onto your nipple and really helping with that. And being a very ambitious woman myself, I was like, I'm going to get it all right. Right. Yep. You know, so I'll tell you a little bit of my story, my back end story, you know, with my first one, who's 11, and I have a 9-year-old. So I was in the same phase. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I had a high maintenance child for my first and a chill child for the second. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Because my second one, she would go to sleep. All I had to do was give her my ninny. I co-slept the entire first year. I loved that baby experience with my second. I try not to do it too much, say it a lot for my first, because I don't want her to make her feel bad about it. But my second baby was just like, amazing. And I cloth diapered and I did all the, you know, crunchy stuff I wanted to do. My first one, though, that chick, I wanted her to stay and co-sleep. I wanted to do all of that, but she would not go to sleep, Amanda. I mean, I remember we had, and first of all, I was broke. We were like 23. I was 23. My husband, I had just graduated from college. You know, we had just gotten married. And I think I was 23. I don't know how old I was because I could be lying right now. I don't even know how old I am right now.
You're like, where am I? Who am I?
Like, could we talk about sleeping for 11-year-olds and 9-year-olds? Okay. So anywho. I remember getting a rocking because she needed to be in constant movement. Okay. Mm-hmm. The rocking chair that we had, we couldn't afford the one that had the cord. Okay. Mm-hmm. We got the batteries. Well, the batteries died, y'all. Okay. And this was not sleeping. I was trying to pump and because she wasn't latching on. It was insane. And one sleep deprived night, this is her at 6 weeks. Okay. Because she had to be constantly moving. She never slept. My husband had to still work. One sleep deprived night, I just put her in her crib, closed the door, closed my door, and went to sleep. I never thought I would let my child cry it out. But I'm telling you that I didn't even hear her because it was 6 weeks of completely 1, maybe 2 hours. It was like insane. So my husband woke up and he was like, Jasmine, where's the baby? And I got up, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. Oh my God. Right? And then I go into her room and she's there sleeping like a little angel. And then what happened was after that, I was like, let me try again. Let her sleep in her room. And she slept in her own crib in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But she had to cry it out. And I don't even know how that went because I was knocked out.
I have to say, like, listen, your story is so common. Your story is so... there's so many layers. You can see me, my brain just like, organizes like an essay so you don't come off crazy. So because there's no sleep education, because we tell parents this, there's only one way. This is it. It's just like breastfeeding, right? I talk about this and I relate it so closely to breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is natural. You just put the baby on and they feed and everyone, there's birds, there, doves come, someone, you're in nature. It's amazing. And then reality sets in. There's no space in society for reality of crying, a crying baby, unlatching baby, a crying mom, madness. I'm going to tell you right now, because there is no education, because there's no space for these uncomfortable experiences, here we are, okay? You were like, okay, I have no choice. The safety for me, the safety for this baby is that she goes in her crib. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to shut my door. I'm going to, everyone's safe for right now. Yeah. And that was your only option. You know what I mean?
You're touching me. You're touching me. Because I had postpartum depression with the first and postpartum depression. I mean, postpartum anxiety with the second.
Yep.
There wasn't a safe space for me to say that.
Yes. I'm getting emotional. I mean, this is why I do this work. It's like, I had postpartum anxiety with my second. So I want this to make what I'm about to say. I want it to not seem like I don't think postpartum anxiety and depression is a real thing. It's a fudging real thing. Okay. I obviously have a swearing problem.
Just go ahead. We'll make it explicit. Just go ahead.
So I had to get out of teaching. It's like too many. No, that never happened in teaching. Okay, so it's a real thing. But the thing that we don't discuss is how our modern society does not support mothers. There is one narrative for what a mother is and what it should look like. And if we're not following that narrative, or if our perfect existence isn't following that, then there's a lot of feelings that happen, right? We do not live with our parents next door. Yep. We don't live in that tribe where we can wake up and give the baby to someone so we can all lovingly co-sleep. There are some babies who also, you know, for their sensory, like they don't like to be touched. They don't like to go to sleep. What's their option? We need more options that are inclusive. And for me, my job is to teach people independent sleep. For those, like for me, I couldn't co-sleep even if I wanted to. And I tried with my first. And like, look, co-sleeping is supposed to bond us. And my brain would be like, duh, 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 duh. Don't roll over, don't roll over. Oh my God, is she breathing? If she breathes, she's right next to you. And so I couldn't sleep. So for me, I needed a different option. And so there, because we can't do all of these things that are supposed to be the best all the time, I think that's sort of where I come in. And I don't judge the person who wants to do that. I don't judge you, because if you're sleeping and your baby is sleeping, well, then you don't need me at all. And life is amazing. You know what I mean? I'm so happy for you. You know, I'm not your person. But when that's no longer working for you, when your baby isn't sleeping, when your partner's like, hey, I want this bed and I don't want this baby here, then it's okay to also have those options. And, you know, we can talk about crying. I mean, as I'm sure you know, of an 11 and 9-year-old, this is what all new parents don't know yet. And if you're a new parent, I want you to listen closely. Your baby is going to cry for an hour when they're 3 because their shoe is red and not blue.
Just wait for it.
One time, my oldest daughter, again, our older daughters sound similar.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter had the biggest fit. So I come home and she had this like phase of being really obsessed with Spider-Man. And so she saw this like Spider-Man show, and it was like the 1980s. Like kind of for grown-up Spider-Man. Do you know what I'm talking about? That cartoon.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so I was like, we start watching it and I was like, no, this is not okay for you. It's not kid Spider-Man. She went so ballistic. My husband came home from work. Our caregiver had come home from picking up my other child. And they were both like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like the amount of hardcore emotion, you would think someone had hurt her or no, I just said no to Spider-Man. That's what this is.
Complete and so breakdown.
Complete breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I think that when people think of like teaching their child to sleep independently and crying, we think of, you know, unfortunately, and there's no judgment here, of like shutting the door and peacing out and you can't do anything. Well, you can do things. You can literally be right next to your child. They're going to have some really big feelings about having to learn how to sleep on their own. It's a stressful experience. It's hard. It's a skill that we don't have, like breastfeeding. It's not something we're born with. It's not natural. We have to kind of encourage our children to do that if we don't want to. They're going to have feelings about it. You can be right next to them. You can pick them up. You can love them. You can kiss, hug, goodnight, peace out.
Yeah.
I normally don't suggest cry-based methods until after 4 months, generally just because of development. Some babies catch to it early, but it's more that a lot of babies won't remember, and then you're kind of having to repeat that. So just wait until 4 months. But in your case, if it worked, I'm so glad. Then there's nothing. But there's lots of stuff in the middle that people just don't talk about, right? It's either your baby's crying, you're bad. Well, sometimes I have my clients whose babies have colic. Those babies cry nonstop, whether they're being held or whether they're not. There's nothing damaging to that baby. That baby
I honestly think that's what she had.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if I was bathing her, if she was fully fed and her diaper was changed. Mm-hmm. I was using gripe water. I was just trying to use as much as I didn't know. I just did not know.
Yeah.
She's fine. She's well adjusted.
Yeah. Well, this
she survived.
And she's like you said, she's normal. She's well adjusted. You guys are attached. She doesn't have horns. She isn't, you know what I mean? These are
all the kind, gentle, loving person. you know, despite the fact that I forgot where I put my child.
We've all been there.
So you know what? I just wanted to let y'all know too with co-sleeping. What I decided to do with my second one, I actually found it's called like a baby something. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's called baby something, so that doesn't help anyone. But if you if you go to Amazon and you type in co-sleeper, I bought like something where I couldn't roll over her. And it goes in between myself and my husband. Now, was husband happy? No. After a year, he's like, Jasmine, come on. Like, she's got to go, right? But that co-sleeper kept her, like, in a container, like a plastic container, so I couldn't roll over it. And I would slide her down and slide myself down at the opening where the feet would go if she needed to nurse. And it would still prevent me from rolling over, and I would bring her back up to the head portion when she was done. But I was able to still sleep, still lay and sleep as I'm nursing her. I couldn't have done any other thing, I think, because just for me personally, I just remember being so overwhelmed with having a 2-year-old who was still rambunctious. She was like, ding, 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 boing, boing, like that. So just imagine not sleeping and then over like a lot of energy,
yeah,
like overly into stuff. Right. Yes. And then I have a child that's pretty chill. Thank the Lord. She was so chill. But I remember talking to a friend who had no kids. Why? Because I had nowhere else to go. And I said, my husband, he wants to have more time with me. Sexually, he wants to have sex, he wants to do all of this stuff like that, and I'm like, I'm so tired. I just don't have anything else in me, right? She's like, well, just take a warm bath, and once you take the warm bath, you'll be more relaxed, and then you can provide your, you know. I'm about
that down. I told that friend when she did have kids, and it's like, how's that one bad girl?
Right.
How's
she has going? No kids. She still doesn't have any kids. But literally, I wanted to take my hands and gouge her eyeballs out. You know, because I'm like, you don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough. And sleep deprivation is a real thing. It's a real thing.
Well, it changes. So there's a great sleep researcher. Now, he speaks mostly to an adult sleep experience. But this is sort of, again, this is my like fight song that we have. I think nowadays, you know, we have Arianna Huffington. We have all of these people coming out and being like, hey, guys, sleep is this new magic thing. And I agree with them. OK, so we are saying sleep is good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. Our mood is stabilized. Our body repairs itself. We can fight off viruses and like, hi, we're in a pandemic. This is great, great for us. So we say all these things about grownups. And then William Dement, who I'm speaking about, he actually focuses a lot of his research on sleep apnea. So the quality of sleep that people have. And he talks about that sleep deprivation is the number one brain impairment. People are walking around brain impaired. If you have less than 7 hours of sleep a night, you are essentially drunk. And we get behind the wheel. We carry babies up and down stairs drunk. And by the way, as society, society's like, hey, you're a mom.
You're doing a good job.
That's okay. You just had a baby. So science doesn't apply to you. Those books about adult sleep deprivation, we're just going to not read that. We're not going to read that. And we're going to pretend it's not there.
Right.
That's what drives me crazy. It's like, yeah, there are hormones that allow new mothers to deal with that sleep deprivation better,
yeah,
for sure. But there is an end point to that. And so there will be moms who are listening to this and are like, you know what? I was fine. Then we're not speaking to you. We're speaking to the mom who's like, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. There needs to be an answer for her. And it makes sense that she's not fine,
yeah,
because of science.
Yeah. So what would you say to that mom? that's just not fine. She doesn't have a girlfriend. She may have a girlfriend like me that's just saying, take a bath.
I love that so much.
What would you say to her? What would you say to her?
I just want to say you're not screwing up. You're not screwing up. You are not imagining this. You're not less than because there's not this picture perfect experience for you. Let's just hold space for that. First off, that this is a normal thing for you. And, you know, Karen down the street with her perfect Buddha baby who sleeps 12 hours out of the womb, that's not normal. That's not the everyday experience. I can tell you that it's not. So I want to say that. I want to say that there are methodologies that don't involve, like, I think that people associate sleep training, I hate saying the word, it's like dirty, with like a violent experience. And it really doesn't have to be. There are things in the middle. That the newborn stage is extremely hard. That they call it the fourth trimester because essentially the baby biologically should be in our body still, but our bodies can't handle it. So they make the baby go out. But really, the fourth trimester, aka the first 3 to 4 months with your child, just do what you can to survive, you know? Like, that baby should be in your body still, but they can't be. So they're going to do everything, like, to try to replicate that experience. So be gentle. Be gentle on yourself. Ask for help. Find your people. Stop following a-holes on Instagram and Twitter that make you feel bad about your parenting decisions. That includes myself, by the way. If I'm not serving you, unfollow, because it's like I would hate to be spreading that anxiety. I want to be spreading that inclusive mom experience because we're all struggling in some way.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these mommy influencers, a lot of the like even experts, they're all selling something. They're selling this idealized version of what motherhood should be like. Mm-hmm. And for some moms, it's going to be beautiful. And with my first, she's fiery, but it really was this like picture perfect experience with her. Like I said, I went back to work. I smashed my goals. It was awesome. That was not my experience with my second. Both are possible. We have to honor all of those experiences and just be open to experiences that aren't yours, you know?
Yeah.
I could say a million things, obviously.
So, okay. So for that mom, what would you say they can do? What's one thing they can do today to help with the sleep deprivation?
So for a lot of people, like this is going to be like, some people are going to be listening to this and are like, I'm not going to do any sleep training. I want to co-sleep. It's not working, whatever. If that's for you, I want you to find a way to serve yourself. So let's take sleep out of this, okay? You're sleep deprived. I want you to call your mother-in-law or call your mom, and I want you to allow her to give you 3 hours. And you go take a nap because that's going to be extremely restorative for you, okay? I want you to find a way to serve yourself. You can't do sleep training. You can't do anything if you are depleted. So when I'm like, I run this program with a registered psychologist in Canada called the 4 hour stretch. And the first 2 weeks, it's a 4 week program. The first 2 weeks, we don't do any sleep work. And it's all about self-care. And it's all about the psychology of paying into yourself and really believing that. I think that self-care, unfortunately, has this new buzz, like this feeling of BS, like go get your nails done, go do something. Self-care can be go hold yourself up in your closet. Don't let anyone come in there.
Oh my God, how do you know me?
Because I've been in my closet.
I feel exposed.
That is self-care. Self-care could be the bath if that's what you wanted, But at that time, that's not what you wanted. So it is whatever you want it to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be my number one advice. Number two, if you are looking, I mean, again, my advice is going to be about independent sleep. If you are looking for independent sleep, find people who speak to you about that. And that, again, that may not be me, but you're going to want to find people that are speaking to you. I have like an amazing blog, depending on where you are in your trajectory of sleep deprivation, whether that's newborn, whether that's infant, or whether your kids are 9 to 11. I also have a podcast as well. I speak to a lot of strategies on there as well, like meat and potato. This is what you can do. What I do on my podcast is I do what you do. I interview someone who's sleep deprived and we talk about their problem and I give them some ideas about why it's happening and then some next steps for them. So oh that God, could be helpful. That.
Yeah.
Do you know who Janet Lansbury is?
No.
Okay. She's a parenting expert out of LA and I just really love her philosophies. I use it a lot in my work, but that is essentially her podcast. But people do like, she's like a Dear Abby. People write her questions and
yes,
and I was like, I love that idea. I'm going to do that. But I like interacting people with
yes,
people. I'm not good on my own.
Yeah.
So I make them get on the phone with me.
All right. This is a great segue. You've got to let the guests listen. Of course, you can find out everything that you need to know about Amanda in our show notes. But please tell the ones who are listening where they can find you, what your website is, what's your podcast name, all of that.
So I pretty much like when I'm not looking at my children in their eyes, because I do, I'm on Instagram and I'm giving like everything I can on Instagram. I love that platform. And I'm at Baby's Best Sleep. That's B-A-B-Y-S, Best Sleep. And then you can find my podcast called The Slumber Party Podcast with Amanda Jusen. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. And then obviously www.babiesbestsleep.com for my blog and all of that. I try to give away, like sleep consultants are expensive. I don't think I could have afforded me and my first baby. So I try to give you as much possible information without having to hire me. And then if you want to hire me, you can do that too.
Awesome. Amanda, I absolutely love this conversation. I had so much fun. What a great start to my day too. All right. Well, thank you once again. This was such a great conversation. And I think it's going to provide a lot of value and a lot of laughs for our moms too, because we need that. You know, sometimes we're so bogged down with our day-to-day tasks that we just need a little kiki here and there. So thanks again, Amanda.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Like us on Facebook.
See ya.